Hare Krishna, our great fortune to hear His Holiness Jayadev Swami Maharaj Ji in Shridham Mayapur in a Bhakti Shastri course, and we are going with chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita. It's day 2 on 19th of November 2013. Hare Krishna.
Very nice of all you people to be giving me memory sticks and cell phones and all of that. Appreciate it. Why not, in the time left to us, we'll cover the rest of the chapter in terms of these arguments, and then I'll take more questions. We've had Sankaro Nadakayaiva, the unwanted population in text 41 is going to make life hellish, which we see actually. You get a demonic population and they make the world hell. And then, utsanna kula dharmanam manushanam janardana narake niyatam baso bhavati. I'll be preparing a residence for myself in the literal hellish planet. Anushushama, I've heard this by the cyclic succession. I've heard this coming down, received wisdom, that if you destroy a family, you go to hell. Is that what I want? Now, aho bhata mahat papam kartum yavasita vayam yad rajasu kalobhena hantam swajanam ujata. Aho! Oh my God! Aho is like exclamation. Aho! Aho bhata, how? What is this? Aho bhata mahat papam, such a big sin. Ho bhata mahat papam kartum yavasita layam. What a sinful thing have we decided to do. Yad rajasuka lobhena, for the sake of the happiness of the kingdom. Hantum svajanam ujita, where we stand ready to kill our own people. So very dramatically, ho bhata mahat papam, how sinful a thing this is, that we're ready just for the sake of a kingdom and the happiness of a kingdom. Yadi mama pratikaram ashastram shastrapanayaha dhartarastra ranehanyas tanme shemataram bhave. It would be better to stand unarmed and unresisting and let them kill me. That's his conclusion. Yadi mama pratikaram ashastram shastrapanaya. Shastra means weapon, not shastra, shastra. Better for them, weapons in hand, to stand and kill me standing there unresisting, than to kill my own people. Sanjaya uvacha eva muktvarjuna sankhe vato pasta upabhishat prasridja sashuram chapam shokasam digna manasa. Now Sanjaya is speaking, my dear king Dhritarashtra, after speaking in this way, Arjun put aside his bow and sank down on the chariot, his mind overwhelmed with grief, samvigna, shoka. Shoka means lamentation. Shoka samvigna, completely distressed, manasa, his mind totally grief-stricken, he sinks down in the chariot and puts aside himself. That's the end of the chapter. Okay, some more questions.
Question regarding accepting opulence.
Accepting opulence?
Opulence and facilities. Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that if the Lord wants, the devotee can accept the opulence. If the Lord doesn't want, he shouldn't even take the farthing. So, Maharaj, how do I know if I'm accepting the opulence on the Lord's will or on my own?
What are you doing with it?
It's the utility. You mean to say the utility of that?
Yeah. You just got some money, now you're using it because you're going to get some nice eats. You're going to have to throw a good feast for yourself, or are you going to do something for Krishna's service? You know, is it from, we have to ask ourselves, is this for my sense gratification, or is this for Krishna's pleasure? Is this something that I want to do, or is it something that my spiritual master wants me to do? Is it contrary to what my spiritual master would want me to do? We have to interrogate ourselves. That we see Arjuna is doing that. Should I fight? Is it, what will be the pros? What will be the cons? What advantage, what good will come to us? Is it sinful? We ask ourselves these questions. Should I do it? Should I not do it? But we have to know, what is my duty? If we don't know what our duty is, then how do we know if this is consistent with our duty? We have to know what our duty is. Therefore, these courses, what's Krishna consciousness? What did my spiritual master order me? What was his example? What are the instructions of Shastra? If it's a dicey question, a difficult question, what do the saintly persons think about this? Can I explain his answers, what I have told him?
That a person should remain brahmachari all men and...
What is the difficulty?
Explain the answer.
I don't see the problem. Something else? Yes.
About this, actually, Prabhupada once said something about that. That one asked Prabhupada if all the people would be the Brahmacharya, there would be no world anymore. Prabhupada said, yes, we want that.
Maharaj, like it's written in the purport of the first verse also, and it's in a general sense, like for the reading, like Prabhupada is saying that we should be reading because scrutinizing under someone's direction and guidance.
Yes.
And overall, Maharaj, like for the reading basis, that we are going through this Bhagavad Gita and this Bhakti Shastri course. So like the interest and the taste like for this doesn't get maintained.
Excuse me?
It doesn't get maintained. Like
what doesn't get maintained?
The interest and taste for reading basically. It gets somewhat boring or not more of in a concentration way. That story form is like a good thing, like we are reading Krishna book. It's like relishable, we can say like. But like reading Gita and like not more of, so how we should like go for this in a reading and having an interest and taste for basically.
Well, if you don't have a taste for Bhagavad Gita, you can read Krishna book. How do we get a taste? We get a taste by associating, by discussion among devotees. In the Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Samvido Bhavanti Sridkarna Rasayana Katha Yaj Joshanad Ashu Apavarga Vartana Shridharatir Bhaktir Anukri. In the third canto, Lord Kapildev says that the Krishna Katha is virya. It's powerful. It's full of potency. Knowledge potency, pleasure potency, everything's there. But how will that potency be realized? Satam prasanga. When the subject matters are discussed among devotees. Mat chitta mat gata prana. Just like science can get awfully boring. You know, you're there in your laboratory and you're doing your equations and you're doing your experiments and you're writing the results of the 132nd iteration of the experiment, and it can get kind of discouraging after a while, boring after a while. But then they have these scientific conferences. You know, and the guy's there from Berlin, and the guy is there from Paris, and the guy is there from MIT, and the guy is there from this place, and they start talking about the results, and they start talking about their theories and their, you know, all of that. And it becomes exciting. The latest discoveries in your field, right? Where businessmen get together. Business can get to be kind of like, you know, another business deal. And then the businessmen get together and they start talking about the latest trends and the, you know, where the market is going and all of that. And it starts to get, wow, yeah, I could. Right? By that association, you start to see all the possibilities and, wow, I didn't think of that. And, right? It all comes out. So in the association of the devotees, all these things start to come out. You get new light, you get new perspectives, you get new realizations, you start to see how this applies to your own case. You start to see something cool, something neat, something, you know, impressive, something stimulating. All these things come out in the association of devotees. Rasayana katha, it becomes relishable, enlivening. Rit karna rasayana. It becomes pleasing to the heart, pleasing to the ears, in the association. So like Prabhupada was saying one time, that if I'm all alone just speaking, there's not so much enjoyment. But when there's a group, then it's enjoyment. Or Sankirtan, you know, when there's a big party of devotees chanting, it becomes more relishable. So therefore we get together, we have these courses. Even Chanakya Pandit says you should study with two. What is it? You should make war. If you're going to make war, you should have a lot of people. Many as possible. If you're going to fight a war, have as many people with you as possible. Then, what's the next one? Yeah, that's the last. What?
Seven in four. Seven in four.
If you're going to travel, travel with four people. You know, not too many, but enough so that if there's some contingency, you're set.
There's something about fun.
Five or more for fun. We may get a little past the verse at this point. I don't remember the Chanakya Shloka. But then he says, study with two. You know, if you're by yourself, you can doze off. You can. But if you have two people studying, that works.
I remember.
You remember the verse?
It says that Eka Vina Tapo is Dvacharati by one person. Dvabhyam Gamana, you go with two. I don't go alone. And Patanam study three people. And something happened.
Prabhupada quoted, he said, but eat by yourself. Anyway, the idea is that if we just read alone, we may not get as enlivened as when we read and discuss. Therefore, we have these classes every day, Bhagavatam class. And when our temples are well managed, then in the evening there's a Bhagavad Gita class. So you attend the classes, and just by attending the classes, so much comes out.
Maharaj, I found in this text that
What did you find? This is like the scientists getting together. They make discoveries. Yes, Prabhupada said that.
A poison giver. One set fire to a house. One attacks with deadly weapons. One thunder switches. One occupies another's land. And one kidnaps a wife. So these are aggressors to be killed. So, in our community, if a devotee transgress this
You want to know which devotees you can kill, huh? Well, this is Shastric. If someone kidnaps your wife, if someone sets fire to your house, and so on, according to Shastra, he's an aggressor and you can kill him. Now, there are other considerations to take into account, such as what your government might do to you. Another consideration is sometimes, well, yeah, he's an aggressor, so I should kill him, but he's a devotee, so maybe I shouldn't kill him. Arjun ran into that problem. There was that Ashwatthama, who was a heinous murderer, murdered innocent sons of Draupadi while they were sleeping. You know, no kshatriya kills someone who's sleeping. You wake him up and say, fight. While he's sleeping, killed him. So he's just like a dog. He deserves to be killed. And on the other side, no, he's Brahmin. Draupadi said, no, he's Brahmin. He's the son of our teacher. So then there was a dilemma. Should I kill him? Should I not kill him? So that comes into play. So before you kill the aggressive devotees, think about it.
On the same topic, well, I was just curious about the original question I asked about.
Yes, what was your original question? Yeah, practically, a lot of what you find in the purports here is in contrast to the verse. I basically gave you the Arjuna's argument. What I've mainly done in the classes the last 2 days is I've given you Arjuna's argument, why, what his good reasons are for not fighting. And Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, of course, sometimes reinforces Arjuna's argument, but often gives the other side, that this is not for the kshatriyas, this is saintly. Saintly considerations are not for the kshatriyas, and so on. So Prabhupada sort of, what's the word, previews what's to come. He's giving you some of the opposite arguments. So you'll find that in the purports.
But a lot of, the reason I asked about this one in particular is because Arjuna's other points are all valid. They all have shastra significance or just common sense significance. But this one isn't even, he should wrong.
Yeah, therefore his argument is not very good. Even if we can give another angle on things, these are what are called justifications. Or a rationale. That is to say, when there's something I want to do or something I don't want to do, and I've already decided the question for reasons of my own, then I find reasons why I'm right. Right? Like I've decided to, what is it? I was thinking of something heavier than that. I've decided to cheat your country in some way, maybe by building a dam that you don't need. Now, my real purpose is that I'm going to make a profit by doing it. But now I find all these reasons. Well, your country is underdeveloped. You have a shortage of electricity. You're probably going to have your needs for electricity are going to grow 350% over the next 10 years. This will help you develop expertise in the management of world-class electrical power. You know, I come up with 472 reasons why it's a good idea. My real reason is something else. I just want to, you know, take the money and run. But, you know, it'll create local jobs, and, you know, right? How many times have you said, yeah, this is a good thing because it'll create local jobs? You know, Walmart will create local jobs, or, you know, the slaughterhouse will create local jobs, or whatever. Now, I don't give a damn about your local jobs. I could care less. I couldn't care less if your people went without work for the next 100 years. But I want to build my factory, I want to build my slaughterhouse, I want to build whatever it is. So I come up with reasons. It'll create local jobs. We'll build new roads. The economy will pick up. I want to build a casino next to your city. So I start all the good reasons why how a casino will help things. Actually, you're going to become crime city and I'm going to mess up your whole way of life. But now I start inventing all these reasons. Or if I don't want to do something, then I say, you know, I don't feel good. Or, you know, Johnny wouldn't want me to do it. Or if he can't do it, then I don't want to do it either. You know, 100 different reasons. The real reason is my sense gratification. But I come up with all these excuses, rationale, justification. And Arjuna can be seen in that way. You know, oh, sin will overcome us. Real story is you don't have the guts. You don't have the determination. You're thinking they're my family members, and you're full of all these sentiments. And so now you're coming up with this argument about sin. It doesn't have any validity. That doesn't matter if I can get out of it by saying it's sinful. You know. Excuse me?
You should give all the money to Krishna. Is it a sin? If you have a crisis, something like that.
It has to be, you're going to do black business and then give all the money to Krishna. Yeah, it's still sinful, but now you're doing it for Krishna, so you can say it's neutralized. Generally, a devotee is advise satovrite, one should have an honest occupation. But all right, if you have a sinful occupation, then do it for Krishna.
There was one story that the devotees were selling drugs and laundering the money through cookie production, and they were offering them to Krishna, they sent it to Prabhupada, and he took a bite and then he made a face and spit it out.
I don't know if that's a true story, but I do know that he wrote a letter to that group of people saying, there's no need to do anything dishonest. There's no need to do anything dishonest. You know, the devotee, that was highlighted in Mahaprabhu's pastimes regarding Gopinath Patanayak. Gopinath Patanayak was the son of, brother of Ramananda Roy, right? Brother of Ramananda Roy. And he was handling land transactions, and he was skimming taxes. You know, they had this system of tax collectors, and the tax collectors pick up the tax, and for a commission, they give the tax to the guys up top. So he was in that responsibility. But he was skimming, you know, he was double dipping, or you know, some way or other he was taking more than his rightful share. And so he got implicated. He insulted the son of the king. Anyway, it's a long story. He insulted the king's son. The prince. Insulted the prince. And so the prince, you know, it's not really advisable to insult princes. The prince knew, okay, this guy's cheating. So now he got back at him by arresting him for fraud, for cheating the government, and having him sentenced to die on the changa. The changa is a nice little instrument. It's a good invention. It consists of a platform, like a stage, with a kind of a trap door, you know, the floor opens up, and underneath the stage there are these swords, all pointing upward, and the trap door opens, and you fall on the swords, and that's the end of you. So this Gopinath Patanayak was sentenced to die on the changa. So then the word came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that your devotee, Gopinath Patanayak, has been gotten in trouble with the prince, and he's been sentenced to die on the changa. Why was he sentenced to die? Well, he was, you know, they say he was stealing money from the government. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. Then somebody else came and said, you know, it's getting closer and it's like just about to happen. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, don't want to hear about it. Then somebody else came. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, come to me again, I'm leaving. He cheated the government. What do you want from me? Essentially, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why should I get involved? He cheated the government. So then, of course, finally it came to the attention of the king. The king was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he understood the whole when he understood the whole situation, he canceled the execution, and he gave the Gopinath Patanayak a promotion and gifts, and everything turned out happily. But the point, I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing us that a devotee should be honest in his ordinary, honest and ordinary dealings. That should be the behavior of the devotee. No need, as Prabhupada wrote those people, there's no need to do anything dishonest. Devotee should earn his livelihood by honest means. That's the general principle. Yes?
What's the solution for Varna Shankara?
What's the solution for Varna Shankara? Solution for Varna Shankara is described in Brihannaradiya Purana. Hare nama, hare nama eva kevalam, kalo nasjeva gatira anyata. Nothing else you can do with Varna Sankara. Engage them all in Sankirtan. And that will do everything. Mukta Sangha Parambraje. It'll free them from all entanglement and send them back to Godhead. All the Varna Sankaras should be sent back to Godhead, that's all. In this age. Next age, all the Varna Sankaras are killed. Kalki, end of the age, Kalki comes and kills them all. But in this age, in this time, our business is Dini Hina Yatachido Harinami Yudhu. Uplift them, even Varna Sankara. Fortunately for us. Something else.
The first Krishna's family tradition, we have more and more Western shakris who gave the right to women to marry with women.
They what?
Women to marry with women and men to marry with men. Sometimes I am a little bit astonished by this kind of process. But according to Krishna's consciousness, what could we think about this?
Sometimes in the Western countries, they give permission for men to marry men and women to marry women. In Krishna consciousness, what do we think about this? We think it's degraded. We think it's degraded. Again, it's like people in ignorance, they can't discriminate. Vrittim cha, nivrittim cha, jana navidura. So they don't know what's to be done, what's not to be done. Everything's by how you feel, what you think, by your sentiments, by how it feels to you. And there's no standard. It's like, well, if it seems right to you, if they like it, if it doesn't hurt anyone, then it becomes... But according to Vedic wisdom, this is the business of the animals, or less than animals. It's degradation. No matter what government approves of it, or what famous writers think it's very fine and good, regardless of how accepted it becomes in this or that section of society, we think it's degradation.
Maharaj, how can we cure
Dinchakra
people?
Dinahina yata chilo harinami udhirila. The only thing is sankirtan. Enetreya shodhi maya nashivara lagi harinama maha mantra lao tumima. This is the only medicine we have. While I'm thinking of it, now it's men and men and men and women. My prediction is the next thing that will become socially acceptable is men and animals. It doesn't hurt anyone. And maybe even marriage certificates, I don't know.
But that, woman married a dog, Maharaj.
Excuse me?
I am ready in a Yahoo, one woman married a dog.
It's already going on.
A woman woman's
marrying a dog.
From the dog and the car, now we're into a religion.
This is how we can get all the women married.
I guess her advisor told her get over it, so she, you know, kept it.
But isn't that verse that Imam Al-Fatihah, I heard a class, my profile, they said that actually, whether we like it or not, we are all of us, we can't actually take any conversion too much anyway, it all comes from Krishna. And then it just kind of struck me that where's the inspiration to act when you know that the result is out of your control anyway, that you're helpless. Why, you know?
Yes, why should I act if it's not within my, the outcome is not within my control? That will be discussed later when Krishna discusses the laws of nature. The person in ignorance acts whimsically. He just does it. And a person in the mode of passion acts to get the result. And a person in the mode of goodness acts because it's his duty. There may or may not be a result. Or there may or may not be the desired result. So it's like King... Who's the king? Who put his body on the scale? Huh? Sibi. Maharaj Sibi. He was... an eagle was chasing a pigeon. Pigeon took shelter of the king. Please protect me. King said, okay, I'm here to give protection. I'll protect you. Eagle said, wait a second. You've deprived me of my food. The king said, well, I pledged to protect this pigeon. Then take the equivalent weight of flesh from my body. So how much is that? So they put the pigeon on the scale. And he was pretty heavy. So they put this much weight, this much weight, this much weight. Finally, the king put his whole body on the scale. And the pigeon's still heavier. King said, all right, anyway, I'll give my body. Or maybe it's equal weight. King said, I'll give my body. Now, the desired outcome for the king is not very nice. I'm going to die. But it's my duty. I promised the pigeon that I'd protect him, and the eagle is also my citizen. I've deprived him of his food, and I promised him I'll give the equivalent weight, and I have to stand by my word, so it's my duty. That's mode of goodness, which is largely out the window. Now we don't consider my duty. It's what, you know, just like I take a vow that I'll be married to this woman regardless. Right? To happiness and distress and da 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 da. And then after some time, I don't like her. You know, she's such a witch. Or, you know, I like this one more, or whatever it is. And then I find some reason I ditch her, or the woman the same thing. That, you know, well, I didn't realize when I married him that blah, 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 blah. You know, it just doesn't make me feel good anymore, so I'm not going to do it anymore. It's not a question of what my duty is, it's what's a question of what's going to make me happy. That becomes the standard. In the mode of passion, the standard is what's going to make me happy. And of course, they don't know what will make them happy. But what makes me happy is sense gratification, which of course is front-loaded and leads to misery. But that's the mode of passion. Therefore, passion is happiness in the beginning, misery at the end. But goodness, I act not because of what I'm going to get. Arjuna is still going to get his family killed, his teacher killed, so many things. But he's going to fight because it's his duty. I may benefit or I may be happy or not be happy. That's not the point. Now it's all about sukhina. What is sukhina something madhava? Sukhina shyama madhava. What happiness will there be? He's looking at that. What will I get? What happiness? That means passion and ignorance. And at the end, it's my duty. Doesn't matter whether I like the outcome or not. And again, the outcome's not in my control. Krishna will show later, kill them or don't kill them, they're all going to die. Or, as he'll explain in the next chapter, no one's going to die. Yes. Still wondering how we're going to get all the girls. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
A different question, or is that Well, everyone should, all the girls should get married, and all the men should stay brahmacharis, but one man can marry all the rest of the girls. Well, there went that idea. Yes, maybe last question because time is.
Are you not saying Shakya, but he's quite saying the most passion. I just wonder when he goes to the, he fights to satisfy Krishna, so that's like he goes to the mental path of.
Yes.
He's like, he keeps the most goodness in some way.
Yeah, you'll find sometimes in the descriptions that Prabhupada essentially identifies the transcendental quality and the good quality, because the transcendental quality is pure goodness, which is not materially found. But that idea is there, that one should act on the platform of goodness and transcend that by Krishna consciousness. That will come too in the coming days. Well, given the time, we will thank you for today's, your participation today, and we will see you tomorrow. Same time. Thank you all very much. Thank you.